So there is a deeply theological word that at times I use to describe other Christians, and that word is wackadoodle. A wackadoodle is somebody who claims to be a follower of Jesus Christ, but at times may say things that you ask, really? Do you really believe that? Or you might question the authenticity of what they're saying. At times in my life, there have been people who have claimed, you know, the Holy Spirit is moving and working in a certain way, and I've said, well, you're just kind of a wackadoodle. And then other times, I say, well, Drew, maybe you are being a wackadoodle. And what I'm referencing is that over the last several months, I have felt that the Holy Spirit has been moving and working in my life and calling me to lead grace in a certain direction. And I'm sometimes hesitant to say God is moving and speaking because I don't want people to think that I'm a wackadoodle. But I am confident right now that God has been speaking to me in such a way that He is leading Grace Community Fellowship towards really not a new path, but a renewed energy into loving our neighbors. It's something that Grace Community Fellowship has embraced since the beginning. Grace Community Fellowship planted itself in this church, in this old school building, in the middle of a neighborhood on purpose. That we have sought to be a neighborhood church. But in American culture right now, there has become this disconnect with us and our neighbors. And it's apparent here at the church. There's a certain level of disconnect between us and our immediate neighborhood. And I would be willing to gamble that for most of you, that there's a certain level of disconnect between you and the neighbors that you live next to. You may know them. There may be some that you know very well. But we no longer see as a norm people interacting with their neighbors, talking over fences, going and borrowing cups of sugar, knowing what their children's activities are, things like that. Nationwide, there is a resurgence and a movement of neighborhood churches. In the early 2000s, for probably about 10 years, there was a significant movement of mega churches where people were flocking to mega churches. People by the thousands were going and attending these mega churches. We are now in a day and an age where neighborhood churches seem to be where people are flocking to. And for a reason, post-COVID, people are looking for that smaller, intimate, personal connection. So, with all of that said, Grace Community Fellowship has been sovereignly planted here by God in the middle of this neighborhood for a reason. And it's time that we begin to embrace that. And some of us have, and we have made strides in that direction. God has also sovereignly placed you in the home that you are living, in the neighborhood where you are, for a reason. And I think that there is an overlap there. And so for the next, I don't know how many weeks, honestly, a while, we're going to be walking through the Sermon on the Mount, beginning with the Beatitudes, and really looking at how does this speak to us as followers of Jesus Christ, as we engage with the world around us, as we engage in our neighborhoods, like where we live, and then our neighborhood here around Grace. So we're going to be starting in Matthew chapter 5. Today we're just reading the first three verses. Speaking of Jesus, seeing the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have called grace, that you are leading us and directing us. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would continue to help guide us forward into where you are calling us, that you would be just moving in miraculous ways as you have been. Time and time again, you have moved and worked in Grace Community Fellowship. You have moved and worked in the lives of the people who come here. Open our eyes to see it. Help our hearts to believe that it's going to happen again and again and again. Help us to see your power. We thank you and we praise you. And we pray these things in your Son's holy name. Amen. So I said that I was confident that the Holy Spirit was moving and working here at Grace Community Fellowship. And one of the ways that I know that I am confident or that I feel God speaking is through repetition. When things begin popping up over and over again, the things that I'm reading, the sermons that I'm listening to, God does a pretty good job of getting my attention. I've talked about how I know that the Spirit of God is moving and working at Grace Community Fellowship because there's not necessarily a whole lot of planning that goes into our services, but there's echoes after echo of people being aligned Sunday morning after Sunday morning. So when I asked Pastor Rod to preach last Sunday, he said, "Well, what sermon series are you going to be launching into?" I gave him a very brief explanation of what we're going to be happening, like brief, a couple sentences. So last week, Pastor Rod, I think, gave one of the best introduction sermons that he could have given for the sermon series that we're entering into. If you remember, he invited us to change our hearts, to change our directions, and to change our message. I didn't come up with those three things. Rod came up with those three things, or the Holy Spirit came up with those three things. But you're going to hear about those three things a lot over the next coming weeks. Changing your heart, changing your direction, changing your message. So for the next several weeks, about the 9 weeks, we're going to be talking just specifically about the Beatitudes, which come at the very beginning of the Sermon of the Mount. And we're going to be talking about how, imagine how our neighborhoods could change if the Beatitudes were lived out right where we are, like right now. If we actually lived out these instructions of Jesus Christ, then what it looks like to be a follower of him, what would that mean, not only for our spiritual lives, but how would our neighborhoods changed? Would we be able to rewrite the culture around us? That we know as Christians that our lives are supposed to be looking different. We are called as Christians to be influencing the culture around us. However, time and time again, it seems like we are fighting back against the culture influencing us. And so it's time that we begin to influence culture. Culture change, culture shift is a long process. It doesn't happen overnight. It takes time. But imagine if we could change the script of the loneliness, the incivility, the materialism, the selfish, into a narrative of joy, living biblically with the people around us. And so the Beatitudes give us a vision, a pathway, some practical ways that we can begin to live more like Jesus and begin to influence the people, the culture, our neighbors. And so as we said, that we are placed with a purpose. Where we are, that you are not in your job by mistake. You don't live in the house that you live in by mistake. Grace Community Fellowship is not in this neighborhood by mistake. God uses all of those things. And so, last week, Pastor Rod invited us to change your heart, to change your direction, to change your message. He gave us three things. I'm going to give you three things this morning as well. The first is you have nothing to offer. The second is it's not possible. And the third is not yet. Sounds like an uplifting sermon, doesn't it? You have nothing to offer. It's not possible. Not yet. You have nothing to offer. Really, that's what this first beatitude is getting at. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It has nothing to do with the amount of money that you have in your billfold or your bank account or hidden underneath your mattress. It's not talking about your finances, like your material goods. What it's referencing is spiritual currency. How rich are you in your spirituality? And really, we are reminded again and again throughout scriptures that we come to Jesus with absolutely nothing in our spiritual pockets. You know, it's been said the only thing that I add to my salvation is a sin that makes it necessary. That Jesus Christ does all of the work. That He calls us, that He draws us to Him. That He's the one that transforms our heart, that changes our direction, that gives us a new message to preach. That all of the spiritual successes that we see throughout our lives are directly the result of the work that Jesus Christ is moving and working and doing. The kingdom of Jesus Christ is an upside-down kingdom. It looks very different than the world around us and the way that the world presents success and the way things that are supposed to be. You know, everything about our culture is about self-improvement, doing better, pulling yourself up by your bootstraps, work harder, what can you accomplish, self-help books. Everything is about us and how much we can accomplish, and if you just work harder or learn more. And it's all dependent upon us. Whereas Jesus says, you have nothing. Nothing to offer. And this idea of nothingness is a language that Jesus frequently spoke, and especially of Himself. Saying things like, the Son can do nothing by Himself. By Myself, I can do nothing. For I have come down from heaven not to do My will. Jesus frequently spoke in this language that it was not by His power, but by the power of God. So one of the first things, that the Beatitudes that invites us to do is this heart change. To remind us that we have nothing to offer, that it's not about us, and it's this invitation, instead of leaning upon ourselves, is to become dependent upon Jesus Christ, that He alone brings the success that we see in terms of spiritual things. And He invites us to live out this life, this lifestyle of dependence upon Him, and to make it visible to the world around us. It's so counterintuitive. You know, it is part of the reason why we don't go next door anymore to ask for cups of sugar. I think it's a lot of times because it's a sign of failure. Well, what do you mean you don't have sugar? Is your life not organized enough to have sugar? Don't you realize that Walmart, has a pickup service? Amazon could deliver it to you the next day. I mean, are you not financially able to, afford sugar? I mean, sugar is cheap. And we have these perceptions of how the world is going to see us. And we think that somehow the world is going to think less of us if we have less. But Jesus says, let them see that you have nothing. And this idea of letting the world see that we have nothing looks different for all of us. Inviting our neighbors into this lifestyle of dependency upon God. There's not this simple formula, this step-by-step thing. But what it involves is day after day acknowledging that there is nothing that I can do to save myself, but Jesus can. Jesus saves me every day. And so there's this idea of, you know, if we begin thinking about influencing our neighbors, the idea of going to Lawrence and, you know, beginning to proclaim the gospel one. You know, going to Lawrence or to Tetefo, you know, it's a scary idea, but sometimes it's equally as scary to walk across the driveway or walk across the street or to engage with somebody in the line at Walmart. It's scary. Because we're not used to this idea of nothing, of having nothing. But once you begin to recognize that you have nothing, you also recognize that you have nothing to lose. And if you have nothing to lose, you recognize that, yes, it is not possible. It is not possible for you. It is not possible for me. But it is possible for Jesus. More than our efforts, Jesus wants our dependence. To confess that we are spiritually bankrupt, that we have nothing, and to rely on Him every day. That relying on Jesus involves that we have a connection with Him. That we allow Him to lead us into this, affecting the neighborhoods around us. And so there is a very simple prayer to begin that process. Lord, help. Help me. Help me reach my neighbors. You know, I don't know what to say. I don't even know how to begin. I don't know the last time I saw my neighbor. And to begin praying for things, opportunities for God to move and work in the way that we know that He can. Scripture, time and time again, has God showing up in unexpected, surprising ways, using unqualified, nothing type of people to do miraculous things because He is God and He wins. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the grave lives in you. And that same Spirit desires to use you. And so, how you interact with your neighbors may look different from someone else. Maybe you're like Denny, and you decide to have a block party, and you invite all of your neighbors, and it goes really well. And some of you are thinking, well, that's my worst nightmare. There's no way in the world that I would ever do that. Or maybe you're like my neighbor Jeff, in the middle of Montana, who was nice enough to stop on the side of the road and give me 4 new ratchet straps to add to the cacophony of ratchet straps that I already had on my roof so that I'd make it home. Maybe you're like my actual neighbor here in town who decided to just mow my lawn while we were gone because he knew it would help me out. Maybe you're like my mom and dad who choose to walk your dog around the neighborhood and make it a goal to interact with the people that you see outside. There are a variety of ways in which we can begin to interact with our neighbors. And then as we begin to build connections and we see these connections in life together, we have opportunities to present to them our dependency upon Christ, to invite them. The kingdom of God is an all-inclusive. Like, God wants everyone to be part of the family. Everyone to be part of the family. He invites everyone. And then He does that amazing process that He begins to work in people's life. He changes their hearts. He changes their direction and He changes their message. He does those things, and he does it pretty well. He did it in my life. He did it in each and every one of your lives, and he has the power to do it in the lives of the people around us. You have nothing. So you have nothing. It's impossible. Not yet. When Jesus spoke about his kingdom coming, he spoke about it in terms where it was imminent, like it was right around the corner. And so we live in this idea of that the kingdom of God is not quite yet here, and yet it is. That it is here and it has been accomplished, but not yet. So Christ has already conquered sin and death, but we still have sin and death in our world. Those things will go away at the end of days. But Jesus doesn't call us to look like him just for the end times. He calls us to look like him now because his kingdom is breaking through now. And so, yes, the fullness of God's restoration is not yet here. But every time that we act like Jesus or we live out these Beatitudes, we give our neighbors a taste of what's to come. We begin to show them what it's like, what things could be. And so, friends, we have nothing to offer, but Jesus does. Everything to offer. It's not possible without Jesus, but with Jesus, all things are possible. Not yet, but also now. And so this idea of influencing our neighborhoods, it's the seemingly insurmountable task of reaching out into our neighbor, to begin to interact with our neighbors. And I think one thing that I want our minds to change from is that as we interact in our neighborhoods and we seek to live out our Beatitudes, our goal is not to get people to attend Grace Community Fellowship. Our goal is to introduce people to their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that maybe as they accept Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, that they are going to end up at a church on the other side of town. And that's a victory. And that we celebrate that. That we begin to interact with our neighbors because we're tired of our world being full of loneliness and sadness, that we're sick. So many times people, they come to me and they say like things like, oh, I can't even watch the news anymore. It just makes me depressed, or it makes me sad, or it makes me angry. It's because it is sad. It is depressing. It is anger-inducing. And we can complain about it and complain about it and complain about it, or we can do something. And the doing something is really not that hard. Well, maybe it is. Because what it means is that you pick up your cross and you follow after Jesus. That we follow after Jesus. He doesn't invite us to bring anything with us. Really, there's nothing that we can bring that's going to help. He says, just come. Drop your nets. Leave your boats. Step out and follow me. Jesus says, I've got this. For generations and centuries after century, since the foundation of the world, Jesus says, I have got this. Do you believe it? Do you believe that I am still moving and working? Jesus is calling you to follow him. Let's go out and do it. Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much. I thank you so much that you choose us, that you choose to use us. Help us to be bold. Help us to step out. Help us to follow you. We pray these things in your Son's holy name. Amen.